Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host for a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Yes, you recognize him, Captain Brett Bartlett, the founder of Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com. He also has 32 years, and he makes me say this last part, 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience. So whether that's true or not, who knows, but thank you for being on the show, Captain. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. Don't forget that discount code. It's Radio15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gulls.com. And I'm going to mute Brett's microphone again for the second time. And here we go. So don't forget about that. We've got Gulls at Gulls.com, Radio15, and also Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor at ComplianTechnologies.com. We've got GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live. We've got TwoBells.com, and they've built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Make sure you check it out. You get cool gear like the mug I have here behind me. We've got shirts, hats, all kinds of stuff. So make sure you check that out. Now, you know, our Green Beret Delta Force member wants us to go in and mention about all the outlets that we're on. So yes, we're on Spotify, and we're also on Apple iTunes, but we're on every podcast outlet or platform known to man. And we're also on social media, things like, you know, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, formerly X, and we've, or I should say X, formerly Twitter. And we're on True Social as well. And a special shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press for Karen Contrent, Ray Dietrich with formerlawman.com, and also Travis Shates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now let's go in and whet the appetite on what we're going to be talking about today. We've got our first story. New York offers free health care to prostitutes. Yeah, you guys are paying health care bills like me. That'll rub you raw. We got an Olympian arrested. You know, I'm going to stop there. There's some stuff going on with the new Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool. There's an Olympian that was arrested. There's what, an ABC guy arrested. But that the real story is that people are really attacking our country and the goodwill of the president by going after these things. So I want to cover that briefly. LAPD releases a body cam of officers shooting an armed carjacking suspect that's on the freeway. And then we've got a couple guys that are tasing handcuffed people. We got Greene County grand jury. They declined to indict a former deputy after handcuffed suspect was tased, but this deputy was fired and arrested. And then we've got body cam footage shows a Central Falls officer using a taser on a handcuffed man as well. And I think he just got suspended. Then we got another body cam. It shows a stolen car ramming a police cruiser and a Hanover Wawa, and the suspect ends up being arrested. So that's what we have to talk about. So, Captain, if you're ready, let's go ahead and jump into this and get this party started. Moonbattery.com is the name of the site. So I'm not familiar with Moon Battery, but New York offers free health care to prostitutes. I am familiar with that. Brett and I used to do a lot of prostitution gigs together. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm paying, for me and my wife with no kids, over $2,500 a month in healthcare. So this rubs me the wrong way. The New York Post reports from New York, Governor Kathy Hochul quietly extended a pilot program that provides free healthcare to sex workers, with the taxpayers footing the nearly $2.5 million bill. Now think about that for a second. $2.5 million, and this is just for New York, right? And I believe there have been some increases in the amount, but the state health department back in 2023 awarded a $1 million of public funds to two contractors as part of Hochul's plan to help the world's oldest profession. And new documents revealed by the Post show the program extending through June of 2028, and it's with the $1.5 million more in cost. So that's, it's increased by $1.5 million. The benefits of moral turpitude under this liberal rule of Kathy Hochul, what do they include? Well, under the initiative, sex workers in New York City and in the Buffalo area will continue to receive primary sexual, behavioral, and dental care. So primary care, sexual care, behavioral care, and dental care. Others have to pay for the dental care out of pocket, but that's no problem for prostitutes in New York. It just won't be, it'll be just like it is for meth addicts under Karen Bass's Los Angeles. So there you go. Well, Captain, what do you think about free health care for the crime, for the profession, the oldest profession on earth?
Oh, you're talking about the legislature? Those whores, they're already getting their free medical care, so it's not It's not a big extension just to give it to all the other ones.
Yeah, you know, I can't believe the New Yorkers are standing by, and but you know what? You change things at the polls, and if you don't, you can live there and you know, and put up with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
if they're okay with it, then who are we to say anything about it?
Yeah, so, well, anyhow, anything more on that, Captain, or is that all you have for the main topic?
I'm good.
You're good? All right, guys. Well, that's what's going on in New York, in case anybody's interested. So let's go ahead and move along here, and we've got an update story. This is Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Our buddy Brian Burns runs that publication. We have an Olympian arrested as Trump blames the vandalism for peeling in the reflecting pool. $14 million. I know what Brett was thinking. So look, Brett, you got to kill that mic, buddy. I'm getting a lot of background noise. And President Trump here claimed on Saturday that law enforcement has arrested multiple individuals for allegedly vandalizing the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool, linking the incidents to ongoing maintenance and the water quality issues at the site. That would be a major issue if you're trying to fix something that other presidents have dropped the ball on, and then you've got these issues going on, and then you find out it's due to saboteurs. So these incidents are linked to ongoing maintenance and water quality issues at the site. The claims come shortly after the completion of a major multi-million-dollar renovation project on this iconic landmark. Now, I remember Trump saying that he had gotten bids, and the projected costs were a lot lower, at least at one time, than what other people had said that it was going to be. I think a lot of people just get used to the government picking up the tab on the check, and they just want to pad the costs. But the United States Park Police have arrested multiple individuals for vandalizing this reflecting pool. And this is what Trump wrote on Truth Social. And he said, who would do such a thing? These are very serious crimes having to do with the destruction of national monuments, and, you know, followed by years in jail. The president stated that the officials met with contractors on Saturday to go in and do the immediate repairs, noting that the workers would probably be forced to release and drain much of the water that is in the pool because of the alleged damage. And it kind of goes on. It says the water quality issues, they quickly resurfaced. Remember, that's why we wanted to take it over, because it was algae and green and nasty. Within days of completion, when Trump fixed it, all of a sudden there's a green hue and clumps of algae appear across the water. And in response, crews from the Interior Department used hydrogen peroxide and nanobubble technology, which I don't know what that is, but I know what hydrogen peroxide is, and they were using that to control the blooms. And additionally, the new blue paint began peeling away from the floor, from the pool's floor, and it started floating to the surface. And this is kind of where the issue is with people getting arrested. So one of the floating paint fragments led to the arrest of 67-year-old David Hearn on Friday. He's a Maryland resident, a former U.S. Olympian who competed in the slalom canoe racing course. He was detained for nearly 5 hours on a charge of destruction of government property. Now, the article says that he picked up a piece of floating debris. I suspect there's a lot more to that. But anyway, we'll go down the rabbit hole when we get more information. Hearn denied any intentional wrongdoing in an interview on Saturday, said, I didn't vandalize anything. I did not want to destroy or break or peel anything. By the time I realized what was going on, I was being put in handcuffs. He explains that he merely reached into the water to grab the end of a piece of paint that had already peeled off. That's what he says. Now, I know that there was an ABC guy, if I remember correctly, who said that he had just touched a piece of something floating, but then there was something I read about him grabbing it and pulling it and peeling it off the inside of the pole, which would not be a good thing. And Judge Nancy Pirro weighed in on that, who is, you know, the head prosecutor now. Captain Bartlett, what do you think about all this stuff going on in the reflecting pool?
Well, it's not that they hate the reflecting pool. They hate him. They don't like him. And the reflecting pool is an absolute in your face representation of what Donald Trump has done. He's made all the monuments in D.C. He's brought them back to life. A lot of the fountains are back to life. So this is just easy for hate Trumpers to go to a place that's so right in front of their face and try to do damage to it. Now, whether those guys did damage or not, that's up to the court. But my point is, it's right there. It's in your face. He could have wrote Trump on the bottom of that reflecting pool just to make it a little bit worse.
What's the answer for something like this? What do you think?
Put people in jail.
Think that, and I guess the publicizers so they know that you're putting people in jail. Well,
but make sure it's a righteous case, not a borderline case.
I'm with you. Yeah, I agree. You would think they would have camera equipment there. They would have people there that can move in and grab people that are doing. And yeah, I suspect it's a saboteur as well. And yeah, there's no excuses. You're right. Every opportunity they have to make Trump look good or to sabotage a plan that he has, in fact, that'll better the country, they just don't care.
Yep.
All right. We got a new guy, Steve Bartlett, on. Where did he come from? Looks like he's on Facebook. We won't hold that against you, Steve, but welcome to the show. And if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and move on to our next story. So we've got, looks like we got four stories that have video components, and we're about a minute away from our first commercial break. So let me see how far I can get through this first one. We're going to jump over to LA. So Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. LAPD releases a body cam, and is of officers that are shooting an armed carjacking suspect on the 210 freeway. So this is in California. This is how they roll. There's definitely some critiques here. I know Brett's going to be all over one particular item. So the Los Angeles police, LAPD, they confirm a police shooting that occurred at 12:44, middle of the afternoon, that struck the suspect as he's running across westbound lanes. Now, the LAPD officers told CBS LA that detectives with their Mission Area Narcotics Enforcement Detail, they're in foot pursuit. They're chasing a bad guy, and he decides to run onto the interstate, to the freeway. And so they were searching for a known wanted guy, and he has been identified as a 21-year-old Jason Vega, because as Brett knows, all bad guys are 18 to 21. So I'm going to hold off there, guys. We have to go to our first commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett, founder of Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com. I've been thinking about, you know, during the commercial break, I know I left off with a story about LAPD, but I was just thinking Brett brought up on the commercial break about the sex workers getting free health care in New York. And I just started to think how much money I would save if I put my wife to work. I mean, if I'm paying over $2,500 and she got free health care, that I'd at least be saving $1,250 or so, right? I mean,
But you'd have to buy a yellow Cadillac though to kind of go with the whole pimp thing.
Yeah. And if I had to move to New York, the cost of living there is going to be a little bit, it's going to be a little bit pricey. So it may not even be a wash. I might still be in the hole.
Yeah.
No pun intended. All right. So here we go. Back to LA. We left off talking about LAPD releasing body cam of officers shooting an armed guy, and he tried to carjack a dude at the end. He's up on the freeway, so they're chasing this guy. It's a narcotics unit. They're chasing him. He goes up on the freeway, and I think we've all been there. I certainly have chased a number of guys up. And when you get up there in the interstate and you got cars, they're not going 55, they're going like 70 plus. And not everybody at speed can judge how to maneuver and the distance of somebody. And anyhow, it just gets very dangerous on the interstate when you're chasing people and you're not in a vehicle. So our bad guy's running. He attempts to carjack another driver. And it says at this point, the officers give commands from the drop of handgun, which he's already pointed at an officer and he refuses. They open fire. So I'm going to go in and go to what they miss here. And I'm going to jump to my show notes, although I pretty much know by heart. So they've got the chase, which is in itself interesting enough, but it really gets good when you get up on the interstate. And so there's a semi tractor trailer that's coming by and he's hitting his horn because this dude is running from the cops and he's like right in the path of the semi. Semi goes by. Brett, I swear, the guy disappeared. I didn't know whether he was being drugged underneath. I didn't really care. It would have made for a better show. But anyhow, apparently the semi truck misses the guy, but he breaks and he stops, which is a good thing because the semi truck can provide cover for the cops because now the bad guy is in the middle of the interstate and he's in front of a white, big, it looked like maybe a dually, some big truck, right? So we got the semi truck and then you got a slightly smaller white truck that the bad guy's behind the hood on. So there's our cop wearing the body cam. There, you can see the female officer to his left. She's using that freaking semi tractor trailer, man, for freaking cover. It was a beautiful thing. And our cop standing out in the middle of the freaking open lanes of traffic, you know, and there's no traffic going by, but still. And the bad guy, you can see the first time you see the gun, he's got it pointed right at the cop. Cop doesn't shoot. He waits. They say that the bad guy tried the carjack. It's kind of hard to tell what's going on over on the driver's side of that white truck that he's using as cover, but they say he tried the carjack. Eventually, he separates from that white truck. And then I thought that our male cop took him out, but they went to the female's body cam, and her gun moved first. So to me, it looked like she fired the first shot and the one that was using cover and stuff. I have more good things to say about her than him, but what do you think, Captain? Well, actually, let me go back. They used 40. He went down. He had a knife that fell, the gun that fell. They used a 40-millimeter less lethal launcher on him to make sure he didn't go back after the weapons and stuff, and then they went 10-15 with him. So that's the way it ended. Yeah, and he had a Glock handgun, so he likes Glock. So, Captain Brett.
I don't know why they didn't shoot him a lot sooner than they did. It was so obvious. You know, he's got a gun. He's heading towards, if they had not shot him, he was going to hop that median and be on the other side. Okay. And it will stop traffic. He could have carjacked somebody and off and he's gone. Another one, just officer, shut up. How many commands did he say, drop the gun, right? And here's my theory. If you say it three times, drop the gun, and they don't drop it, you yell, drop the effing gun, because that means you're serious. And that's exactly what happened in this video right here. Shut your mouth. Give a command, enforce the command, and shut up.
So you don't think that you don't think that one more command would, out of the 100 that they gave, would have been
No. That guy. At the hospital, he didn't say, if you just yelled one more time, I'd have dropped the gun.
So it's interesting, being seasoned cops like Brett and I are. Brett's got more time on than I do. He's got 32, exemplary, by the way. But the backdrop I find fascinating. So doing police work and covering shootings like this, you know, I always look at the backdrop, and the backdrop can change. And it did in this case. So, and the backdrop was different for our female officer than it was for the male officer who's out in the open. And I didn't, you know, I don't know how you feel about the cover versus the, I mean, I tell you what, I was so impressed with what the female officer did. The backdrop wasn't necessarily ideal. It was probably a better backdrop when he was like closer to that truck because the female had a bead on him and he was like above the hood. It would have been a headshot, but it really wasn't a great backdrop. If she would have missed, you know, there was no, you know, lower down. If you were looking lower, there were some concrete pilings behind the bad guy, but they were low. They're only, 3 feet high or whatever. So she would have had to do a headshot over the hood of that white truck. And you know, the backdrop wasn't, there was stuff back there that you didn't want to run the risk of hitting and stuff. Nobody had a long gun that I saw. That would have been a nice answer to part of the problem. But the female taking that first shot, I don't know if you thought that she did or not, but I didn't think she did until I saw her body cam. But yeah, you're right. If they would have let him hop that concrete median and get to the other side, and then the backdrop would have been worse than what they even had. Yeah.
Well, you know, the backdrop, you know, the whatever's behind the bad guy is always a consideration, but it's not a stop. And they have a split second to decide, what's the worst case scenario? I take a shot now because he's a danger and I miss and I hit something, or I let him go. And he most assuredly causes more trouble down the road. It's a balancing act. It's not a good one. Now, here's a piece of trivia for you. Guys out in California know this. On one of the radio transmissions, I heard somebody saying, and I saw it in the words and bottom. They said shop 861 or something like shop SHOP. And then out in LAPD, the officers call their police cars shops.
Oh, really? I thought they weren't calling for like air service or something.
No, shops, and it's short for shop number. That 5-digit number on every LAPD car is an accounting number. So when they turn it in for repairs, that's the number for that vehicle. So whenever they say I'm going back to my shop, it's just a short for shop number, which is the accounting number on that vehicle.
Brett, how did you get so smart?
I don't know. It's more of a curse than a blessing.
Is it a gift or is it a curse, huh? Hey, your sound, your audio is doing great, by the way. Keep it that way. Don't touch a thing. You're doing great. Hey, guys, we're up for our second commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're talking about our satellite sponsor, Compliant Technologies, at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the glove. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, but they've actually had over 250,000 deployments. Guess what? No injuries, no deaths. It's an amazing stat. It's actually helped them achieve non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. So when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already tuned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com and tell them that Chip sent you. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And we've got Captain Brett Bartlett from Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com. And I'll tell you, if you're ready, Captain, we can move on to the second topic, which has also got a video component. So does that sound good to you?
I'm ready.
All right. So this next story, guys. Yeah, we got two in a row that are somewhat related because it is the tasering of handcuffed people. Brett, you used to run internal affairs, did you not? I mean, you were in charge of IA. It's kind of funny, actually, with your history that you ended up being charged. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that publicly, but no. But it's kind of funny that, you know, you've got, I'm kind of curious what your opinion on this is going to be, because we got one guy fired and then we got one guy suspended, right? So different agencies. So there's video components for both of these. So rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel, this is better. Greene County Grand Jury. So this is in Georgia, by the way. And I believe that GBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigation, got involved on this one. Greene County Grand Jury, they declined to indict a former deputy. That's the first flag. Former deputy lost his job after handcuffed suspect was tasered.
Handcuffs him with a taser. Get your hands off me, bro. Get your hands off me. You know you're wrong.
No,
shoot
I'm
me
not
with a
wrong.
Taser.
I'm not
shoot
wrong.
Me
I asked you to stop.
Shoot me with
it. Then I asked you to stop.
I'm handcuffed. And it's that until we until.
And you have other people here.
Help me, man.
You know you have other people here.
Help me, man. You know you're wrong.
I stop.
Get off the. Taser, taser, taser.
All right. Are you going to stop now? Are you going to stop?
No, you're wrong.
Are you going to stop?
No, you're wrong. You know you're wrong.
17 Greene County taser deployed.
You know you're wrong. You know you're wrong.
So body cam footage obtained by 11 Alive is providing a firsthand look at the incident that led to the arrest and termination of a Greene County Sheriff's deputy in Georgia, whose case was later presented to a grand jury that declined to indict him. So he was arrested, he was fired, but not indicted. So the video obtained through the Georgia's Open Records Act captures the July 2025 incident. So this happened less than a year ago, and it was between the former Greene County deputy, Robert Klein, and a dude named Cornelius Allen. And this guy was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence, a DUI, and it was after he had crashed on Interstate 20. Now, the footage that is key to this thing, it resulted in our deputy being charged by GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, with aggravated assault and violation of oath of office charges. And this is where Karen, our buddy Karen, well, our girl buddy, Karen Hammer worked for GBI. I don't know if she's still there or not, but you remember Karen married to Ted?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I used to work for Ted.
Okay. All right. So the Greene County Sheriff's Office terminated Deputy Klein and requested that GBI investigate after they learned that he deployed his taser on a handcuffed suspect. So they actually approached GBI about this. So our deputy was arrested by GBI. They looked into it, all right. July the 9th, 2025, they arrest him. They book him to the Greene County Jail. And according to GBI, the incident occurred after deputies responded to a crash shortly before midnight, July the 6th, 2025. Allen was arrested for driving under the influence. So that's our bad guy. Later transported to St. Mary's Good Samaritan Hospital, and they're going to be doing a blood draw on him when he's there. Body cam shows Allen being questioned by deputies at the crash scene. He did a field sobriety test. He's under arrest, and now he's transported to the hospital. And inside the emergency room, Allen remains handcuffed behind his back. He's in a wheelchair, and he's waiting treatment. And now you've got the deputy and the bad guy, Allen, exchanging words throughout the encounter. So they're getting to like a little verbal. And yeah, look, I know you guys might be thinking they're both bad guys because the deputy used the taser on this guy handcuffed. We'll talk about that, but it's just easier distinction. We got the arrested dude, the one wearing handcuffs. He's definitely the bad guy, and then the deputy. So as they're getting into it verbally, things escalate, and our bad guy remains in handcuffs. He's in the wheelchair. Klein repeatedly tells him to stop moving and then lean back, and moments later, the deputy tasers him. And from my memory, it was a deployed. It was like the probes leave, and he ends up tasering him, and it's a full deploy. It's not like a drive stun. Now, the footage, if you can mute that mic, Brett, that would help me out. The footage obtained by Klein when he contacted 11 Alive, they're implying that he said that he'd been found not guilty and that he wanted to talk to them and do an interview with the media. And when they checked on it, they found that was just an evidentiary thing with a grand jury deciding not to indict him. But it wasn't like he went to court and was found not guilty. So they made an issue out of that, you know, in the story. But that's what we have. Arrested, terminated, but not indicted by the grand jury. Brett, I wonder why they didn't make sure they didn't get a grand jury indictment before they arrested him, since they roll that way. They go, they put him through the arrest, get him in through the booking process, and then they take it to the grand jury and they lose.
Yeah, I don't know. It all depends on what the laws are in that particular state. I don't know. It's all about tactics and laws. And do we like this guy or do we not like this guy? Is this going to look good in the paper? Not. There's just so much crap that goes on. You know, if somebody's in handcuffs, there's an assumption that they're under control. An assumption. But that's not always the case. You can run and you can fight. You can hurt other people while you're handcuffed. But if this guy did it just because he was mad at this person, then that's a huge problem. And the one we're going to see in a little bit, let's say the guy was disobeying commands. Okay. And you wanted to bring him into compliance. Absent the taser, what would you do? You'd give pain compliance. You'd punch him in the mouth. You would drop him to the ground.
Impact weapons, sure.
Something's going to happen to force or at least encourage compliance, okay? A punch in the mouth is going to hurt the deputy and it's going to leave marks, right? It's going to leave marks. You could break your hand. You could break his jaw. You could put him in a carotid restraint, knock him out, but that never looks good. So what is an officer going to do with somebody who is in handcuffs, who is not obeying lawful orders? You have to do something to break into that cycle of disobedience and make them stop doing it. If it's a riot on the taser for a few seconds, whatever. But if it's just you, if they do it because they're mad at the person, that's a huge problem.
Yeah, and I know it all boils down to the SOP. And, you know, we have rules of engagement. And, you know, for lack of a better term. And so that use of force continuum, which is your rules for engagement, kind of like the military has, you know, where that falls on the scale. But no, I'm with you, Brett. I mean, the fact that you're using a taser on a handcuffed guy, or even the fact that maybe you shoot somebody that's handcuffed, they can all be justified.
Yeah.
You know, you can even, there are situations where you could shoot someone that was handcuffed behind their back and you could shoot them in the back and it could be justified. Yeah. There are easily scenarios that would be completely justified, and it should be. So I have to think that there's a policy, and I don't, and maybe their policy is good, or maybe it's just a bad policy because, you know, anyhow.
And there's also the way that you tell your story, you know, when you're finally asked to tell your story.
Yeah.
You know, people think CYA means covers your butt. CYA means can you articulate?
Oh, that's a good point.
That's what it means. It means can I put into words, understandable words, understandable to the lay person, why I did what I did, not just because, well, he resisted me. That's not enough. You have to go deeper so that a person who is not in the business can hear your words and say, you know what, that makes sense to me.
So let me ask you something, Captain. If I am a police recruit and I've got everything nailed down, I'm the most fit guy, I can run circles, and I'm smart, I'm intelligent, I can ace tests and stuff, but if I have an articulation problem, is that going to be an issue for me in post-mortem?
You're at some point you're going to be done.
Okay.
You're going to be done. It's all about how you say the words. Now, the problem with these events, a lot of people out there, citizens, don't know this, but when an officer is making a decision, there's four items they have to cover in their head. First, in order of importance, law. Number two, rules and regs. Number three, SOPs. And number four, training. That's got to go through your mind in that half a second. Now, at the beginning of your career, you kind of sort them out. Okay, what's the law? What's the rules? What's the policies? What's the training? But eventually, they all kind of get blended in together. So when you make your decision, they're all floating in there together. But, you know, people who don't understand police work don't understand this. When you're making a decision, there's four distinct areas that you have to include: the law, the rules, the policies, and the training. That fast.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you're right about the articulation. You have to, and you know how we teach to the twos, right? People on a level two on a scale of 10, because, you know, the tens are going to get it. You got to reach the twos because you reach everybody above them automatically, you know. But if you cannot articulate it and justify to that civilian review board or whoever's going to end up reading it, or the paper gets a hold of it a year later and they put it out and you've got people reading it, you know, you want everybody to be able to get it.
Well, you remember years ago, Chip, decades ago, when we had an officer who was chasing a bad guy. He was a confirmed armed robber. He had already shot at some people in the business. He's up on the interstate running across.
The officer's name was Johnson.
Yeah, and the officer fired a shot. It was perfectly within law, policy, SOP, rules, and training. But what he said was, when they asked him why, he said, I was getting tired.
Tired.
Buddy, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know,
I remember that well. Yeah.
If you can't articulate, shut your mouth and let your PBA rep articulate for you.
Yeah, that really. Yeah, that was unfortunate. He needed some hand holding.
I heard that bad guy take his last breath too. It was me and Sal Ruggiero were the backups.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I heard him. I heard him. He had that rattle, that horrible, horrible death.
Yeah,
rattle.
Yeah, you know, when you hear that
right there. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. 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 Well, guys, Saved by the Bell. Look at this. We got another one, a very similar. I'm curious what our audience is going to think about the second one that we're going to be talking about. So leave your. Well, actually, I'm going to be. We got a read here, a commercial coming up. So this is our third commercial break, guys. When we come back, we've got another story, another taser incident. You guys are going to love it. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Time to talk about GunLearn at gunlearn.com. And Brett, actually, he's got that certification. So, guys, if you're not familiar with what's going on at GunLearn, pay attention, there have been some changes. So the rules have changed. That's right. So GunLearn is, for starters, the first and only company that offers a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearms specialist. So here's the deal. Here's what's changed. If you have that certification, even if you became a certified firearm specialist 5 years ago, now it's worth college credits. Why, you might ask? That's because gunlearn.com, they partner with Smarter Degree and the university partners in order to make that happen. And they've been doing this back since 1996. They've been teaching everything that LEOs, which law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. I mean, also Brett is a certified firearm specialist as well. And so if you have your own agency, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost as well. So go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Hook up with the founder, Dan O'Kelly. It's a great opportunity. Gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. The Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett, also founder of Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com. And so we've got another taser story. If you guys can believe it. I mean, Brett, the odds of landing two stories like this back to back, right? And then, of course, completely different disciplines, right? So just as a reminder, remember, we just talked about a deputy that tasered a guy that was arrested for DUI, right? And he's in a wheelchair. And I thought it was like a booking. It ended up being like in at the hospital. And he ends up, they get into a verbal. And there's some distance between the deputy and the bad guy. And he tasered him, launches the probe. Guy goes down the floor. And the deputy gets arrested, fired. But then when they take it to the grand jury, does not get indicted. All right. So that's the way his career ended. So on this one, Rumble.com, this is Butter again, the channel. Body cam footage shows a Central Falls police officer, which is in Rhode Island, using a taser on a handcuffed guy.
Hey, listen, go home. Hey, home.
Te lo juro que yo no hice nada.
Vamos.
Watch it. Can't believe that time. I swear to God, I did nothing. Wrong. Wrong.
Get up in the thing.
Vamos.
Sit in the fucking thing. Hey, get up now. Get up. Get up. Up. On your feet. Get up. On your fucking shit. Sit. Hey, sit.
So let's see what happened on this one. So newly released body cam video. A Central Falls police officer holds a taser to a handcuffed man's back last fall. So now we're talking about a drive stun. You're still tasering a guy, but instead of deploying the probes, there it's a contact. And it's more of like a, how do you describe, Brett? With a taser and the probes are launched, you're going to seize up. You're going to lock up, right? Yeah. But when you do a drive stun, it's like getting shocked and you just
want to contact. It's not a debilitating because the distance between the two probes is only this much versus or the two points versus the darts. You know, the further the dart is with another dart, the more muscle reaction you get. So yeah, at this point, it's a pain
compliance.
It's exactly. No different. We talked about this. No different than punching them in the mouth or driving your finger under their ear. It's all compliance.
So Officer Timothy Totsko was suspended earlier this month in connection with the incident. It happened outside of where a bar, because there's never issues when you have people drinking alcohol. The only thing we're missing here is like females, you know, liquor and women, like you always say, Brett, right? This happened back in November. So the police report says that our officer, Totsko, and another officer, they get a call to Central Street Bar because there's a guy that's refusing to leave. And if you're trespassing, we call it, trespass after warning. They give you, you know, you're afforded the opportunity to leave. This guy didn't. The owner of the bar told the officers that that the unidentified man was told to leave several times. He's not listening. And the guy was holding onto the door in an attempt to avoid being taken out while the owner was speaking with the officers. So both this officer, Totsko, and the other officer, they escort the guy out the front door, and now he again refuses to leave. And the guy is highly intoxicated. They're asking him questions in English and in Spanish. He's unable to answer them. And I can tell you by listening to him talk or try to talk, this dude's freaking gone. He's wasted. The footage shows the man falling on the ground outside the bar and staying there for several minutes before standing up. And now he starts to aggressively punch a wall. And the officer said, hey, dude, we're not going to do that. cops are pretty cool with them. I mean, they're cool with them until they're not cool. And now Tosco steps in right after the punching of the wall and stuff. He's like, hey, dude, just go home. I'm not going to tell you again. And you're going to be arrested for disorderly. I really don't want to do this. They're giving him all the chances. And then the guy tenses his body up. It looked like he like brushed up against the cop a couple times. And finally, the cop said, "That's it, dude. You're going to go to jail." And so they go to handcuff him. And now they're trying to walk him to the cruiser. He drops on the ground, drops all his body. Now they got to pick him up, and they're carrying him. He's freaking fully horizontal. And then the female had one of the legs, and he's like flaying his other leg around. She's trying not to get kicked with that. And they're trying to get him in the cruiser, and he doesn't want. You know, it's one of those. Unless you've tried to put someone in the back seat of a cruiser or a cage. That doesn't want to go. It's hard. People think, just throw them in, close. No. That's not the way it works. So the guy, he's horizontal. They're trying to get him to sit up, and the cop's back there, and the guy's not sitting up because they can't get his feet in to close the door. And cop's getting frustrated. He takes his taser out. He drive stuns the dude, get his feet in, and he closes the door. He's like, wow, I'm glad that's over. And so that's kind of the way that it goes down. It ended up being a drive stun. Central Falls Police Colonel Anthony Roberson confirmed that there was an IA investigation launched after the man's arrest. It says that they kind of like caught it by reviewing body cam footage. Our officers accused of violating 7 of the department's policies, including use of force, de-escalation, reporting and truthfulness, and ethical and professional conduct. Now, remember, this is Rhode Island. So the first one was a deputy. This is an officer. I don't know if there's any correlation with them getting treated differently because this guy was suspended. The past guy was, fired and arrested and not prosecuted. Captain Brett.
Well, when you start talking about untruthfulness or truthfulness, depending on how it's written, that's always a flag that something bad happened because you can't, no matter what happens, you just can't lie about it.
Right.
You can't lie about it. But here's a problem. In the heat of the moment, when you're doing something, when somebody's fighting you and you're trying to overcome that, you may not remember a detail or misremember a detail about the event. Okay. And that's why it's a good idea to go back and review your body cam, not because you're trying to concoct a story. It's just that the body cam doesn't have miss memories. It remembers exactly. Now the problem with that, it doesn't show anger and emotion, but at least you can go back and see that. But what were they going to do? The guy's kicking, he's screaming, he's shouting, he's refusing. And and again, like you said, unless you try to fold a bad guy into the backseat of a police car, you just haven't lived.
Yeah.
When they're sticking those legs straight out and they don't want to go, you just can't put them in there. So here's the deal. Here's the deal, Mr. Citizen. If you go into my police car, then I won't drive stun you. That's the deal.
Yeah.
And okay, you don't want the deal? Guess what, pal? This is what's coming. This is a learning environment.
Hey,
but you never hear the chief say, none of the chiefs ever say, listen, all the person had to do was obey the lawful commands.
Yeah.
Okay. Our motto is not serve and protect. It's if then. That's our motto. If then.
So Brett, have you ever, I'm asking a, a stupid question, but have you ever hogtied somebody?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's the last resort. Yeah.
Yeah, but and I know we're talking about it, asphyxial or asphyxiation, positional asphyxiation and stuff like that. But things that we just didn't know about back in the day or that weren't as prevalent, if you hogtie someone in a bad position, then they could lead to them having difficulty in breathing and stuff.
Yeah, you have to monitor them, obviously. And I'll tell you what, man, I don't ever want to get arrested or anything, but if somebody tried to bring my legs up behind me, man, I'm going to go into a spasm. I'm going to break that rope. You're going to think this is some superhuman. When my legs cramp, my baby, get out of the way. Get out of the way. I will destroy you for that. But, here's another problem. We hurt ourselves because what is our name for this event? Hogtie. Okay. Yeah. It's like saying chokehold. Let's stop doing that. Let's say, enhanced restraint or rope restraint or whatever. But, when you tell somebody, well, I hogtied him, it just doesn't ever sound good.
Well, I don't think that they are even allowed to use that anymore. In fact, they've got different ways of doing it now, I believe. But boy, back in the day, though, it was pretty cool. It was pretty. So if people want to know what a hogtie is, you pretty much you attach their feet to their hands behind their back.
Yeah.
So they've got the handcuffs on And so it is a loop with an attachment. It goes around their feet, keeps their feet. So what happens is that where I was going with this is that once this cop drives down this bad guy and gets him in the car and closes the door, it's not necessarily over. The way it can accelerate after that, now this guy is in a position where he can start kicking out the windows. He can kick out the side windows of the car. He can work on the back, on the rear window, sure, or he can work on the cage or the plexiglass that's in there. So there's all kinds of severe damage he can do, which you don't want to happen. So if when it escalates, that's when you literally cannot transport somebody that's in the throes of doing that. They've got to be, their movement's got to be restricted. And that's where the hog tie comes in. And we don't do it. Now they have a strap that goes down in the door.
Yeah,
in the seat, and it kind of, hangs out and all that good stuff. But
People don't understand when you're fighting somebody and you're down around those feet because they're kicking, that's a dangerous place to be. They could kick you one time right on the nose, and it could kill you stone dead. So what are you supposed to do to somebody who's trying to kick you or kick? Here's what you do. You punch them right in the snot locker and knock their behind into next week. But so, they can't do that.
We got Bill BC on Rumble saying, I pulled out one guy that stiffened up, and I put him in the puddle outside the cruiser. Before that, I said, if you want to be a gentleman, we'll treat you as such. He continued being I can't say it, and he was treated, he was treated as such. So, makes sense.
Look at the clock. Are we behind on something?
Well, we are. We're. It's the Wounded Blue. So I was kind of running over into the Wounded Blue time a little bit, but yeah, we are there. So Captain Bartlett, it's been a great show. Thank you so much for being here. Also, guys, if you want to check out the Captain, the Wounded Blue. That's Randy's company. The Captain is at Exumber Defense Solutions at ExumberDefense.com, and also he's on LinkedIn. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 and his charity. And guys, please support our sponsors. We have Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com. Don't forget the Gauls discount code, Radio15, GunLearn, MyMedicare.live, and TwoBells.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.